Christian parents would be like,
I mean, I don't have to be on for another minute or whatever, right?
Oh, that's what you think. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos Nothing Podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna, and special guest,
and
Eric.
Woo! Oh, the leg. Leggity leg, leg, leg.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting. All right, well, everybody, what's your drinking tonight?
Something exciting.
Oh, well, then you go first.
Okay.
I mean, I was...
Yeah.
Nope,
East
you
Lake
go.
Brewery is kind enough to do deliveries, and they even have a weekly membership that you can sign up for where they will deliver beers that suit your flavor profile.
I believe you were talking about this last week.
Yes, so I signed up for the membership and not just an delivery, and they delivered Sathugwa, which is a beautifully dark beer aged in oak barrels. And
made
it's
from goose liver.
Yes,
that's
exactly
what I was
like,
thank you.
Goose fraba, yeah. It's delicious. This is one of the best beers I've had in my life.
No.
Yeah.
You've had a lot of beers in your life, too.
I have had many beers and several beers. And this one's really tasty. And they deliver it right to my door.
That's pretty good. What specifically are you drinking?
Sathugwa.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you spell that? I guess I should have said...
I think it's Sothogua.
Yeah, so you know exactly how you pronounce it.
I think there are two G's in there. Pardon me, Sathugwa.
I see.
A beer by H.P. Lovecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I've never heard it said, and so I was kind of stymied. You know.
Yeah.
You know how it is when you have only have read a word and don't know how it's pronounced, and so you've mm-hmm. mispronounced it for your whole life? I don't know what that's like at all.
Right. You with your books.
I was in college before I learned that it was not pronounced hyperbole.
Or archetype?
No, that one was easy. I knew that one.
All right. Oh, paradigm. Sure. Fine for you.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Paradigm.
The paradigm?
Yep. That was another one. Anyway.
Well, all right, then.
What you drinking, Jenna?
I am drinking, and I hope this is my wine and not Brynn's. But I usually drink the whites, and she usually drinks the reds, so I made a guess. This is Gallo Family Sweet Apple. I'm going to... it's a sparkly apple wine.
Ooh.
I know. And
that
it tastes
delicious.
Very sweet and
apple-y.
Does that
mean it's a wine made from sparkly apples? Or it's an apple wine that is sparkly?
It's an apple wine that is sparkly. Okay. But also, they put glitter on the apples before they make it
before
in the wine.
Before pressing them?
Yeah.
I believe that.
I also believe this.
Yes. So that is what I am drinking.
What about you, Eric?
Oh, since I came from another call... Oh, and my wife is streaming in the background.
Is that what that sounds like?
Yeah.
That's okay. It'll be no context theater. I love it.
Oh, you know, she's also talking to the people who are on her stream, sending her messages, so I'm only getting it one-sided. So everyone else will just get it one-sided, but also a little faded in the distance.
I'm going to join her stream in the background so that I can laugh along.
You were the worst.
And make comments that I want her to say over your camera into this podcast. This is the best plan.
That's that sounds like a thing James would do.
Yes.
So I have options to drink, but they are not currently at my desk because I hopped on this call right after my last call.
Oh.
And of course, Tulsa hit the button right away without...
He gave me the best cold opening. I couldn't not, okay?
I'm with Tulsa on this one. I agree with Tulsa on this one. And I did. I know I said that on recording, too.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. That's going to be our ringtone for you.
About 10 feet away, I have some homebrew that I could get to. And then upstairs, I have a bottle of scotch that I'm tempted to go grab. So
it'll be all you have to do is just do whatever I do. Whenever James is talking incessantly, I just leave and come back for a few minutes later with a new drink.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Salsa, what are you drinking?
I
and he's gone.
Well played, sir. Well played. I am drinking Captain Morgan Cannon Blast.
Ooh.
I remember that being quite good.
An intensely delicious shot. Caribbean rum with spice and natural flavors.
Natural flavors.
I know, right? It's
natural cannonball flavors?
Not as tasty as those artificial cannonball flavors, but still quite good.
It's just like licking a real cannonball.
It's very smoky. A little metallic.
Now I just imagine that, like, the Tropicana commercial with the straw sticking out of a cannonball.
Yes. I like this.
I'm all for this.
I like the idea that Salsa has been stabbing cannonballs with straws, trying to get this drink.
I mean,
like, it just crumples.
Considering what I do for a weekend job, this is not out of alignment with what
that's
fair. Story really does check out. Welcome back, Eric. What are you drinking?
Yeah, story checks out.
looks like he brought the scotch, so.
Yes.
I got some the Merengue original.
Very nice.
10-year. And I poured some homebrew, a nice dark porter.
Double fisting. Very nice.
Yep.
Wisely
done. Is it a porter?
Yep, it is a porter.
Any flavors in that or just
It is one that has been around for a while because I haven't drank through it. It's what I made for Febtoberfest.
Oh, boy.
So it is a bourbon barrel porter.
Very nice.
Yeah, I suppose a bunch of homebrewers did the Febtoberfest and then didn't have a bunch of people over to help drink it. So. Mm-hmm.
I actually have not gotten my kegs back yet because it was like we had the event and then... Pedantic Eric was like, yeah, I'll get your kegs back to you in, you know, on this day, and then everything fucking blew up.
Right.
So.
Cannonball.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
How did I pick that?
Hello.
Yeah, because it was like 2 weeks after that was Pi Day, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 2 or 3 weeks, somewhere
like
in there.
That, yeah.
It was 2 weeks.
And I remember Pi Day feeling a bit stressful leading up to it.
It was Pi Day was at the beginning of the whole thing when it was still when we still didn't realize just how serious it was, when the seriousness was starting to coalesce, and so we made the decision to go ahead with it. But like, if we had made the decision 2 days later, we probably would have canceled it.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
So it was
well, I think
right
was really
on that. It was right on that razor's edge of do we do it or not. And Pedantic Eric didn't come to Pi Day because he was not feeling well and didn't want to get anybody else sick.
There you go.
Right.
And that was the day he was going to bring my kegs with him. So
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Still don't have my kegs.
Makes sense.
I have.
No, although I will say Pi Day was such an incredible celebration, Salsa, that it just shut down the entire state afterwards.
It really did. I mean, it was like the movie The Hangover, but Pi.
I didn't see it.
Both of those actually kind of accurately describe how I felt after Pi Day.
Well, there's that, yeah.
What's everybody been up to?
I'm feeling better.
Oh, good. Jenna's feeling
good.
Better. That's good.
Yay.
That's
excellent.
I'm not 100%, but I think I'm like at 70% better.
But yeah.
I don't have a fever. I slept for 7 hours last night and have not needed a nap today. I worked today, which isn't usually as exciting as it was for me because I was like, yee, I get to work. that never happens. But I got a bunch of dishes done. I cooked a meal. Like, it's been a really exciting day for me.
Jeez.
Almost human.
Getting close.
More human than human.
Yes. More human than I am usually human.
Fair enough.
More human than humane?
Yeah.
Probably accurate, yeah.
Let's talk
to Sandy.
Anyway.
So, yeah. Anyway, it's been great to... I got a little cleaning done. I got, like... I appreciate doing chores so much right now. It's weird.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, otherwise, I did a show last night.
Oh.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Pray tell.
Well, I did the show I talked about last time, the Story Slam. That was hosted by Strike.
And I linked to it in the show notes, so everybody listening right now saw it too, right?
No. So I did. It was my first, like, actual Story Slam. Like, I've done storytelling shows before, but I've never done a Story Slam. Turns out, like, the way that I tell stories... everybody else was just like sitting at their desk being very conversational about their stories. And I had everything set up so I could stand at a music stand with like my microphone there. And like I was like, I'm going to do this professional. And like, I did I performed my piece rather than casually told it. Which isn't to say that that's not a performance, but there's a different kind of feel. Like the different graphics perform. I think I did a really good job. It was just way different than what everybody else was doing. And I'm like, am I slamming right? Is this how you slam? Like, I don't.
Jenna Young, different from everyone else.
awkward. But yeah, so I
feel
did
like
that.
That's a bumper sticker right there. Am I slamming right?
Am I slamming right?
It is a bumper
How's
sticker,
my
but
slamming?
Not about what
1-800.
You think.
I chatted with one of the other slam people afterwards. And I was like, "That's what it is." He's a
slammer. I'm sorry. I feel
slammers.
Like they should be called slammers.
I like the old pogs.
I'm sure he has a name, Jenna.
His name is Michael Schaefer, and he used to do storytelling in Minnesota about, like, 10 years ago. He was part of the Rockstar Storytellers. And then he moved to Alaska. So, yeah. Anyway, I chatted with him afterwards. And I was like, it was delightful to share a show with you. I haven't seen you in, like, 10 fucking years because you moved to Alaska. The commute's hard. And I was like, did I... do that right? I have no idea. He was like, you were fine. And I was like, I don't understand the difference between performing a story and performing a story slam. And he was like, yeah, nobody does. You're fine. Okay.
Good, because I was about to ask you what the difference was.
I have no idea. And neither does this other guy who was part of the Rockstar Storytellers and has been doing storytelling for 15 years. So
I love how they're doing this form that nobody knows what it actually means, and so they just kind of keep doing it without...
Well, I think the slams are typically competitions. And I think that's actually the biggest thing, is that it's not as much a performance style, although there is some of that. But it is more about... It's a competition to be the best storyteller of the evening.
Oh, okay.
Voted on by the audience. We didn't have like a point system or anything like that. I did not win, but it was my first story slam, so I don't feel bad about it.
So fair what enough. You're saying is you failed.
Oh my god, you motherfucker. I'm gonna...
So would slam again.
Yes, 10 out of 10 would slam again. Yes.
You had a...
I had a date like that yeah. one. I had one, a date like okay. that a couple right. of times, actually.
Okay, James, yeah. what have you been up to?
I started yoga. Started yoga with Bryn. We are doing 30 days of yoga with a YouTube series from the Yoga with Emily something. I don't think it's Amelie because she hasn't put her hands in bags of grain or anything like that, or tried to figure out how many people are having an orgasm at one moment. At least not on the videos. But they're good and. It feels a lot better than being sedentary. I have discovered that my apartment is much smaller than it appears to be.
Bigger than you appear to be.
It's a little column A and probably a lot of column B.
I am going to call shenanigans on one point. In that it feels better than sitting still, because sitting still feels fucking amazing.
It does feel amazing.
It does feel pretty good.
I have a question. On the whole, your apartment is smaller than you thought it was?
Yes.
Does that mean it suddenly became cuter than it used to be to you as well?
It is definitely a cute apartment, and I have definitely been spending time cuting it up.
So is it a reverse TARDIS? It's smaller on the inside than it...
So, hold on, James. You've been taking
it's
time.
A
so smaller things are cuter.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
if we apply some mathematics properties, then cuter things are smaller. And
sure.
You've been cuting up your apartment. You have actively been shrinking your apartment.
Shrink ray.
This is
yes.
your fault.
Yeah. Yes. Sure. I'm going to go with this completely, yes. I think what I did by accident was to shower and leave the bathroom door open and then use a dryer somewhere in the vicinity, which meant that it shrunk. I should have just hung it up and let it air dry the whole apartment. So now it's shrunk. Yeah. That's my fault. So,
is your apartment made of wool?
I am Scottish.
No, Jenna. See, he left the door open when he was getting out of the shower. So next to his huge penis, everything looks small.
So an apartment made of wool. You're like the ninth little pig.
Yes. Yeah, all right. I also what the fuck was I gonna
yoga.
That's okay.
Yoga.
Yoga completely aside.
Okay.
It's gone.
My kids have been doing
yoga. Oh my
yoga.
God. Bing. Welcome to my world.
no, my kids have been doing yoga. There's a series on YouTube called Cosmic exactly. Kids, and what it is it's yoga and storytelling. And so they sit down in front of the TV, and they start, and it's like, and they'll be like Harry Potter or Star Wars or, you know, I don't even know anymore. But they will mm-hmm. tell the story, and as they're telling the story, those are the different poses that they do.
Mm.
Like they'll talk about Luke Skywalker, you know, facing off against Darth Vader, and so we'll get into hero pose. Or they'll do
downward Vader.
Well, for
yeah,
actually,
salutation.
I think it's downward dog. They do that's R2-D2.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It works. Okay. Trust me, Jenna. It works. No, it's really
cute. I'm kind of about this.
So is your butt the top of R2-D2's
Yes,
head?
It's a dome.
Okay. Okay.
Because your butt's round and sticking up in the air.
Okay.
But no, it means both of my kids have been doing yoga almost every day and listening to stories, and it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
That is super
yoga
cool.
is such a weird form for me. When I did P90X, yoga would alternately be one of my favorite things and one of my least favorite things because the posing exercises I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. They felt good. I could do them, even the really complicated ones. But all the stuff that was like just when they're moving you through to like Warrior and Warrior 2 and all that different kind of stuff, it just seems so simple, and it was so difficult.
Yeah. When you're in like a plank push-up position, and they're like, "Oh, just bring your knee into your chest and squeeze it tightly against your ribs, and then move it back, and you're going to extend your leg out without setting it on the mat," and you're like, "Cool."
Right.
That's probably going to take me another 30 days of yoga.
Also, time out. My forehead's against the floor. Let me pause this and rewind and watch how you do it, because none of that made sense. I don't move that way.
That is, I have to say, probably the only problem that I've encountered so far. No, two problems with the way that my apartment is set up. The light from the windows reflects off the TV, which is not optimal.
Yeah.
And then when doing yoga, there isn't a lot of room in front of the television. So Bryn and I are in the kitchen and between the kitchen and the living room, respectively. And we're sideways to the television.
Perhaps not filling the terror.
So. It's, yeah. There are things I can do to fix it.
I will say, yoga is one of my favorite forms of exercise. Yeah. I did yoga. I don't do yoga as often as I used to, but I used to not be able to touch my toes, like at all. And like after 2 weeks of yoga, I was like, "Oh, hey, look what I can do!" And like 2 more weeks, I could do that thing where you cup. Like you're touching your toe pad, like the pad of your foot with your fingers and pulling back on that. Like it's
sure.
Yeah.
Yoga, I don't know what you're talking about.
I hear concur with Eric here.
Okay. Well,
no, I've tried yoga a few times and I just can't, it's just not for me.
I got into it during Fest as part of the morning meeting. I had enjoyed some yoga stuff as part of acting classes before that, but I had never really sunk my teeth into it. But I have gotten more and more into it, and it's pretty relaxing.
And that's great. I commend you. I really, really do. Yeah. I personally, if it's not running and jumping and acrobatics and movement.
Sure.
I've tried meditating and yoga and Tai Chi and things like that, and I just go bat fucking shit crazy in 2 minutes.
See, I'm the opposite. I don't like doing all the cardio stuff. My insides feel all oogly after doing a bunch of jumping around.
Is that a technical term?
Oogly, yes. But even just like even doing fast yoga, where you're doing all of the different yoga poses very quickly in between each other, it's still such a smooth, fluid thing that it doesn't affect my innards. It doesn't make me oogly. Yeah.
There were people who would come to Wise Fool shows and suggest hot yoga.
Jesus.
All the time. And I still am not 100% sure what that is. I don't need an explanation.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
It's not hard, but...
I assume... and I'm just going to believe that whatever we did during those games was 100% accurate.
I'm pretty sure it's when Chrissy Teigen does yoga.
Yeah.
I get this joke.
I don't understand.
Who said it was a joke?
Another thing, I was going to say, another thing that I have been doing is practicing ukulele and doing a lot of like self-improvement and that kind of stuff. It is difficult when it's not an instrument that I'm familiar with, like the ukulele. Like, I really want to practice the toy accordion that I have, but
it's an accordion.
But it is an accordion, and I don't know how to play it yet. And I feel like it's one thing to do that when your neighbors are home. It is another thing to do that when you are sharing a one-room apartment with someone else who is also there 24 hours a day.
That's fair.
Yeah. So I'm looking for accordion opportunities in order to... In order,
go to a park. Go to like, actually, if you go to Powderhorn and just like pick a grassy spot, nobody's gonna bat a fucking eye in that neighborhood.
Added benefit: no one's gonna come anywhere near me.
Yeah,
you know, there are some gatherings you could get close to, but not too close to. That happened outside of some governor's mansions that you could just, you know, play the accordion and...
Oh my god, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Just accordion and bagpipes.
The problem is they're armed and they... I don't think they have a sense of fucking humor, so...
There is
no, that's fair.
Yeah.
We were talking about yoga and cardio and things like that. And something that I've done like two of, but really need to actually just go, I'm just going to go through the entire list, is Angela Fox has been releasing like a dance a day for the last month of like the stuff she did during like Be Fearless and Dance and the stuff she does during her dance fitness classes.
Oh, rad.
And I just need to be like, cool, I'm just going to go through all of her stuff. She linked her Patreon page that has some stuff on there for free and then some like other paid things on there. Sure. But yeah, it's just, I just want to be able to be like, okay, let's just
that's a really good idea.
Go exercise for a while, because dance is always something that I've enjoyed, even, you know, heavy exercise styles.
Mm-hmm. Can you send that link to Salsa and he can post it in the show notes?
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Speaking of physical activity, I have been completely destroying my muscular frame the past few days.
I saw this.
So here's something that you need to know about me. When there's like a home improvement project or something like that to be done, can't. I'm not the kind of person to say, this Saturday after next Saturday is the day where I'm going to work on this project. That's not how I operate. operate is I wake up one Saturday morning and go, huh, that's a thing that ought to be done. And 3 hours later, I'm hip deep in it and I go, how did this happen? And so,
suddenly home improvement projects just happen at you.
It really does. I just somehow they start and then a few hours into it I realize that I'm doing it and now it's too late. I've already started and so I might as well finish it.
At least I own that.
A few things that you need to know. We have a little cement slab patio out our back door that is not very big. It's 10 feet by 6 feet, which isn't big enough to have a table and chairs around it and stuff like that and be comfortable. And so what we have been wanting to do ever since we moved in almost 8 years ago, I want to say, or something like that, is extend that by another 4 feet. And so we actually went and we bought pavers to extend that. But it's those pavers have just been sitting in a pile for half a decade, because I've never gotten around to actually digging out the dirt and you know, taking care of it. The other thing you need to know is that the drainage in my backyard is awful, because I live on the side.
Is that a euphemism?
No, I live on the side of a hill, and there's a cement wall on one side and our house on the other, and so our backyard is just this canyon where water goes to die. It doesn't have good drainage, and so we've been wanting to put in a drainage system of some sort for a very long time. So anyway, on Saturday I wake up and I notice those pavers sitting there, and I go, I should do something about that, and I start digging, because I'm going to dig out the patio. And my wife comes out, and she sees what I'm doing, and we talk, and she's like, now, is that going to be a problem, you digging out, you know, the patio, you know, for the pavers, because you need to go down 7 inches, and then you put a layer of crushed rock, and then sand, and then on top of that is the pavers itself. But right there is where water leaks into our foundation. And she said, is that going to collect water, then, that's going to then leak into our foundation? And I went, oh, shit, you're right. I can't do this until I have a drainage system in place for that water to go when it collects under there. And so I guess I need to start doing that. So next thing I know, I have dug a dry well out by the street, which, you know, and then on Sunday, yesterday, I started digging the drainage trench itself for the French drain. I did the calculation. I, by hand, over 2 days, moved 33 cubic feet of dirt.
Oh, wow.
In installing this French drain and drywall. And my shoulder fucking hurts.
I believe this.
That makes sense.
As it should.
But this is the thing that I actually wanted to bring up. Is the fact that I am awfully out of shape. Like, holy fuck out of shape. I sit in front of a computer all day. I don't really do physical activity that much. I'm not an exerciser. It's not something that I typically do. So when I started digging yesterday, I thought I was going to die. Like, I was gasping for air and gulping and needing water a lot. And there was a few times where I thought I was going to quit. But I powered through it. And by the end of the day, I was doing okay. And I woke up the next day and I was sore as fuck.
Yep.
But I got back out there and I kept digging. You know, and I got I got through all of yesterday without ever gasping for air or feeling like I was going to have a heart attack or anything like that. And I woke up this morning and my arm hurt like fuck. But right after work, I started digging some more. And I felt really proud of that. The fact that that even though I am woefully out of shape, I didn't give up and I powered through it and I ended up moving a lot of fucking dirt. So,
yeah.
I felt pretty good about that.
You should.
Yay!
And then I took very hot showers.
Yay!
Now, was there a lot of steam coming out of the shower? Did you leave the door open, and did you use, like, a dryer afterwards?
Well, see, unlike James, my house seems huge after when I step out of the shower because of my tiny, tiny penis.
Okay.
It's a totally normal dick.
Which one?
Salsa is a totally normal dick.
Exactly. There it is.
He is definitely a dick. Yep.
What do you say? Should we take a break, or does anybody have anything else worth mentioning?
I'm for it.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we get back, then we'll find out why Eric exists.
Yep.
Why Eric?
All right, we'll be right back.
ladies and gentlemen. Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Yeah. So about that pizza.
Four kinds of cheese.
I can't have cheese. Son of a bitch.
Four and we're kinds back. Fake I'm cheese. Salsa.
I'm James. I'm Jenna.
I'm Eric.
Yay. Anyway.
The why of Eric.
The why of Eric. There is no why in Eric.
You all know Eric. Curse the French. From that
I don't remember where that started.
From that woefully inferior podcast, the High Five Guys.
You mean Eric Ponson?
I love how I have such a presence on your podcast. I don't even have to be here, and that all just lives on.
Mm-hmm. So you were saying earlier that you have your podcast has been on hiatus.
We made a tough call. Basically, when all this started up, we looked at our schedules and we looked at how this was going to affect us and how things were going to line up. And the call we had to make was it's best to take a break. And we haven't gotten to a point where we're all like, we're in a good headspace to start recording again. Because I know personally I keep going through like fits and starts of things. And not even considering the shit that the other two are going through. Just for me, the thought of having a regularly scheduled time is both very appealing and almost daunting.
Right.
Oh, she
can
beat up.
Calendars have just fucking disappeared. I know I didn't even bother to go through to remove my Much Ado rehearsals. So those keep popping up.
Oh.
Which at first was like, and now it's just like, yep. So
yeah, after a while,
sad, but good.
Removing the Renaissance festivals from my phone one after the other became pretty painful after a while.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get into it, but right now, like, the conversations I'm having about our festival are they're challenging because it's all like everything has to be included with the caveat of, I mean, depending on what's going on at that point, auditions are on these days, or depending on how things are looking, here's when we're running Academy. It just, everything has a caveat, and that just kind of hurts.
Makes things tough, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And realistically, who knows? I don't know. Right now, it's hard to get hopes up, but it also wouldn't surprise me. I think the last thing that surprised me was Honey, and then I just kind of went
numb.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that was pretty shocking.
Which was tough. It was tough because I think the reason that shocked me, for those that don't know, which admittedly, even though having time at home, I haven't listened to AON for a bit. I don't know if it's come
up. Okay, neither do I.
that's fair.
We can tell.
Who are you?
But, like, right after the shutdown decision, Ginger Hop, and by extension, Honey, decided they were shutting their doors permanently, which sucked. You know, I've been doing Double Blind there for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the thing I think that shocked me the most is that was just completely out of left field. Mm-hmm. I was worried about theaters and theater companies and all these other businesses and my job and all this kind of stuff. Honey never even crossed my mind until they made the announcement. And I think since then it's just been like, okay, there's nothing I can do until all this is over.
Yeah.
So we're just going to see what happens.
Yeah, the landscape is going to be very, very different post-quarantine than it is pre. Just in so many different ways.
So, yeah. So. But I did do something fun to keep my mind busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about getting inspiration and kind of losing it and it just being there in like fits and starts.
Everybody's a dick.
There was this one thing that just popped into my head at like 2 a.m. because what is time anymore?
Right.
So at like 2 a.m. one day I had an idea that was like, what if I tried to do a radio show where it's like some guy who's just stuck in his house and everything he's reporting on is just gossip from other people who are stuck in their houses. And like, what's the weird shit? Yeah. But it's like, what's the weird shit that we're all finding that's common now that we're stuck at home? Like, what are the weird fucking things that people are doing? What are these things that I'm seeing that are like, you know, these common threads that I can just kind of play off of? And I eventually went to sleep, because also, what is sleep? And then I woke up, it was still in my head.
Yeah.
So starting at like 2 a.m. and then it's like, it's still there. Okay. And then while I'm going about my work day, I keep getting little ideas and just kind of jotting them down. And then like during any breaks I would take, I would just start to put things together, start to write more. So by the time I finished my work day, I had a script. And then I went upstairs and unpacked all the recording equipment that I bought that has just been sitting there in boxes for like a year and a half. And I built a recording space in my room. Because I got a really nice mic, ended up buying a second one. It was on sale recently, and got a really nice mixer, and just really haven't done too much with them. But now it is all set up. I have like sound dampening set up, and I'm like, this is set up. I'm just going to record this. And I went through and recorded what I wrote, and then took that downstairs back to my computer and went, you know, I should probably edit this right now, and just went through and edited the whole thing, which took me like 4.5 hours, which was crazy, because it's like starting from scratch completely and going like, what kind of sound effects or music do I want? Where can I get that? What can I use that's like free or whatever? What do I have? So let me dig through all of my old files from like previous projects. And I found like, I want to say it was like a 1.5 minute just Chad Dutton fucking around on his piano piece. Among a bunch of things I had saved from him from a while back that I'm like, oh, this would be a great theme song and transitions and closing song and all this kind of stuff. And just kind of chopped all that up and put it all together. Had to relearn all the recording stuff. And at the end of it, I had this thing that I sent out to like 3 people, one of them being James, because I basically went, who would be interested in listening to this? Who's also likely awake at this time. And James came to mind. Salsa has kids, so he'd be fucking asleep. Or drinking, so either way. Jenna
or both.
Sleep
drinking.
So.
Yeah.
Probably asleep, or should be asleep.
Should be asleep, yeah.
So I sent this thing around that I called Good Morning Dutch Falls. where I play a character named William Pepper. And one of the... so the field reporter, who is reporting not from whatever person's house, is Bill Pepper, and is the exact same voice as the main host, just him sending it back and forth to himself. I mentioned that, like, which is certainly not me recording from another room from my house. And then added like a low washing machine home behind the recording.
so stupid. Yeah. Just fantastic, yeah.
And then, like this dumb, like lighthearted, like I can't even remember. It was like Daily Sunshine or something that I called it. And it was like reporting from the the brightest corner of my home, which unfortunately is also the furthest away, Billy Pepper. And then sound effects of me opening a door, closing it, and then running down a hallway. it's stupid.
I love that you set up this posh recording area so that you could get this fantastic not-at-home recording and then made it an at-home recording. That is so beautiful to me.
The magic of radio.
Yeah. No, I've listened to the first episode, and it is like the first couple minutes I was like, what is going on? And then when I kind of like when I got it, then I was like, okay, this is fucking brilliant. But it took me a couple minutes to kind of like get myself in the right headspace of what am I listening to here. But it is rather brilliant. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
It was certainly like, I'm writing this in a weird headspace, and I'm just going to accept that and keep going. I definitely thought of Salsa when I was playing with all the different like sound effects and things like that. It's like, oh, I need a door sound effect. Damn it, Salsa.
I mean, if you had called me up and said, make a door sound effect, I would have recorded one for you.
I mean, realistically, I probably could have just turned on my mic and opened and closed my door.
Yeah, I know.
That's what's killing me right now. I love it. I love it so much.
Again, Jenna, it takes a lot of work to make it sound this simple.
But I have other ideas in my head, and I really want to get another one or two out. But it's one of those things, like the entire first episode was done in one day. Because concept at 2 a.m., done at like 10 p.m. So the entire thing was done in just that one span of time. And then Jason got it up, which, while it is down currently, this is still one of my favorite stories about why it's down. Because I didn't want to buy...
the password?
No.
Oh, shit.
No. No. But I'm like...
Three of us right now are having flashbacks.
I'm like, Jason, I want to get this up, but I don't want to pay for a new domain. What can we do? And he's like... I'm like, can we do like... add it on as a page from something, and he's like, I mean, just let's just do Dutch Falls dot news from Honeytown.
Oh, it's a
.com.
Mysterious figure.
So that's where it's at. And then I get a message from him like 2 days later, and that was like, I had to take down Dutch Falls because it was appearing on all of my domains.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Oh.
He's like, it's taking over. It's everywhere. So I have to pull it down. And I started making jokes that were like, yes, now on to phase two.
Yes.
So Dutch Falls is the Borg.
Apparently.
Yeah.
You will be hilariously assimilated.
But I have a question out to him, just trying to get that back up. So if it's not up when you hear this, then hopefully it'll be up soon. But I'm wanting to get another episode or two out in the next, like, week.
My Lord.
Cool. Yeah.
Let us know fantastic. When you do. I will absolutely post a link because it was quite fun to listen to.
It was fun to do. And I think having relearned and done all the setup and all that kind of stuff, this, like, the next one should take me a lot less time.
Sure.
Which would be nice. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so far so good.
Bryn is trying to convince me to start a podcast or a web streaming series. And Eric was party to some of this. My dad joined the Royal Manticorian Navy.
Oh, I've already done this.
Which I joined that a few years back.
Left his daughter.
Yeah, It's a group that is like a fan cosplay in-universe group for the Honor Harrington series of books, what they lovingly refer to as the Honorverse. My dad was describing one of these books to me, and they don't sound good, but he's extremely enthusiastic about them. I was in the middle of an improv show with Eric at GalaxyCon, and my dad was in attendance, and we were playing Wish Granted. So my dad pipes up from the audience and says, I would like it if my son would read the Honor Harrington series. And I stepped forward.
Get a different son. Or Wish Granted, you have a different son.
Yep.
Yeah. Wish Granted, get a different son. I have been really not looking forward to having anything to do with them, but because my dad is so enthusiastic about it, and because I honestly have not given it any kind of legitimate attempt.
Shake, yeah.
Right. I just decided that my present to my dad would be that I would choose a book and he would choose an Honor Harrington book. And he would lend me the Honor Harrington book that he wanted me to read, and I would give him something that's actually well written. And so I gave him Reem D by Neal Stephenson, which is a fantastic book. Neal Stephenson is a quality author and writes good people and excellent plots. The book that he has lent to me is On Basilisk Station. And Bryn and I spent about an hour reading through the prologue, which is, I want to say, yeah, which is about five pages in total. And I already, on the first page of the prologue, I was already kind of done with it, because my worst fears were confirmed when they were like, oh, something, you've got a Neo tiger by the tail. And we both stopped, and she was like, what is it? Is this a reference that we're supposed to get? And I was like, no, it's just a way for them to remind you that this conversation is happening in space. So it's like, space tiger! Woo! And we struggled through the rest of it. I have many questions.
I have a question, James.
Yes.
Have you tried rolling pods reading this?
I have not. But I'm told that what you are meant to do is keep calm and roll pods.
Yes.
Is James. Rolling pods euphemism for drinking scotch?
Oh.
Kind of.
Oh.
Yes.
James. James,
have been doing this wrong.
James, have you tried closing the book and opening it again?
Well, I'm already turned off by it. So
When I first met your father, who is a delightful and bizarre individual, which makes all of the sense, because he is your father, he started talking about the Manicorian Navy, or Army, Navy. Navy?
Navy.
Navy. And I was like, oh, you mean this thing? He's like, yeah, I'm part of this group. I'm blah, blah. I'm like, oh, do you know, like, these people? And he's like, oh, what? And they're like, all people, like, that I grew up with in my childhood from Fest.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, we talked for 30 minutes about this. But I was like, oh. He's like, how do you know about this? I'm like, basically, they had a party room next to ours at Convergence. Yep. And I drank over there all the time. Yeah. I haven't read the books, and I'm sorry if you're disappointed, but I also don't plan on it. So
that's
kind they had of, a party.
Fantastic.
My experience with that, and the reason I joined the Navy, is because 1 year at Convergence, I had 1 hour.
1 hour
working the party room at Convergence, the Fearless party room. Mm-hmm. I was there every year, basically every night from open to close, because I really, that's how I convergenced. But one night I had an hour that I wasn't working in the party room, and I was like, I'm going to experience con, and I have 1 hour.
And you made it next door.
And so I did, no, I did a fucking lap. I was in a room, what's going on here? Okay, cool. And then I do the thing, and then I was out. And so I just, I went through each party room, and I was probably in each room for 30 seconds to a minute tops each room. Just cause I had no time. But I wanted to know what the deal was. I got to the Royal Manticorian Navy room, and they had like ribbons, and I was like, oh, hey, what do you got to do to get a ribbon? And they were like, well, you have to be a member of the, it was like, cool, sign me up. I got the ribbon, and I have gotten emails from them every month ever since, and I haven't had the heart to unsubscribe. So now I just filter into the trash.
But Salsa, do you roll pods?
I have no idea.
Salsa, important question.
Yes.
Do you still have the ribbon?
Okay. Probably. You
know what? Okay, I'll accept that.
Yeah, all right.
Like, I basically did with those ribbons what I did with the ribbons every year, and that was after Convergence. I went, never going to look at this again, and chuck it in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I was making Bryn laugh really hard while we were reading through this, because I kind of did the thing that I usually do, which was every time a certain phrase came up, I would have some kind of, you know, like Royal Manticorian Navy, and a little salute, and then whatever the next thing is. But like stopping to mull over important questions, like how the fuck do they know which direction is south in space?
James, it's simple. It's space south. Duh.
Space south.
I think you mean neo south.
That's my mistake.
Down.
No, Jenna just fucking knighted me. It's true.
Yeah.
So anyway, Eric.
So I have a question for everyone.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I know everyone has been cooking more because fewer options.
I have not.
Oh.
I've been baking more.
I haven't been because I've been sick.
So I feel like baking counts. What are some things you made that you didn't, like, 2 months ago, you wouldn't think, that's a thing I'll make?
Okay, that was worth it. That was super
worth it. I can honestly answer nothing, because everything that I have made are things that I have been meaning to make anyway. This just gave me an excuse to make them.
Well, is there something you haven't made for a long time or haven't made before?
Or that you were just really excited.
There's been a few things that both of those things.
Like, that's what I'm curious about.
But nothing that I would not have made otherwise.
Sure,
I guess.
Sure.
It's a slight difference to what you were asking, I suppose. But
no, I just kind of threw the question out there spur of the moment.
Fair.
So the wording might not be the best.
To retrofit your question a little bit, yes, absolutely. There are things that I have been baking all over the place that are not my normal repertoire, if you will.
Like what?
Oh gosh, we've already talked about this a lot. I made creme brulee a few weeks ago. I made peanut butter bars last night. Peanut butter with a chocolate topping on them.
Jenna, you stay out of this.
Well,
I am. I'm just gonna drink my wine.
No, here's the backstory. Here's the backstory. I was originally going to make sticky toffee pudding on Saturday night, and then because I suddenly decided to dig a fucking drainage ditch, that didn't happen. Same thing on Sunday, because sticky toffee pudding is like a 3-hour process. And I was basically up to my elbows in dirt until, you know, bedtime both nights.
Gotcha.
So last night, Sunday night, I'm talking to my wife, and I'm like, I have failed you. I have not made sticky toffee pudding this weekend. Because the reason I was going to make it is because my wife fucking loves sticky toffee pudding. And so, like, after the kids went to bed, we were watching TV, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to make some dessert. And I just went in the kitchen, and I made peanut butter bars with chocolate topping. And in like 10 minutes, and stuck it in the fridge. And then, you know, an hour later, I came back, and I was like, peanut butter bars, here you go. And just my wife had no idea I was doing it, which is... She's very thankful sometimes that she married somebody who can do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've made just brioche cinnamon rolls and...
And I think I joked on one of your posts, well, not half-joked, that I need to start a trading service with some of my baking friends and trade, like, cooked goods for baked goods.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, because honestly, the amount of things that I've been making, we're having a hard time eating it all. Like, I made whoopie pies at one point, and I was like, we're not going to eat all these whoopie pies.
I made something I've definitely made before, but only once before. I made a giant pot of French onion soup. So good.
Curse the French.
I walked right into that one, huh? There's a recipe.
I think you mean you onion soup.
There's
God damn it.
There's a recipe that I have that is basically like a tortilla crust for chicken. Which is it basically uses tortilla chips. And over the years, I have used it to make crusts out of kind of a lot of different snack things. Mm-hmm. So like pretzel crust for chicken or things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And like quarantine week one, tortilla crusted chicken because we had chips and I decided to make it.
Yeah, that looked really good.
Fast forward to quarantine week two, conversation of Jess going, could you do that crust with Cheez-Its? And I replied,
yes.
While eating Doritos, I kind of want to make like a Doritos Locos chicken. So since then, I have done a the fiery Doritos, super spicy ones. Made chicken nuggets out of those.
Can I just say amazing. How happy I am that we're having this conversation on 420?
That's fair. That's fair. Somebody pointed out that the entire month is 420.
Yeah.
So if you've missed it, don't worry, you haven't missed it.
And then recently
I did a chicken parm with Cheez-Its.
There was a meme recently that was just like, the entire month is 420, and we haven't been making jokes about it. Things are really fucked up, huh?
Love it. Yeah! Absolutely.
I've also done, like, I did some fried rice, which I never really thought, I'm going to make fried rice. It was just one night where I went, oh, we have this stuff, and I have rice, and I'm going to make fried rice.
Yeah.
So a lot of it has just been kind of spur of the moment of I'm just going to grab food that I've got and make something, which has been a lot of fun. But I've been spending a lot of time cooking. I think the biggest spur of the moment thing was right before this happened, I had done panna cotta, and I had a lot of leftover heavy cream. The other day, Jess opened the freezer and there was a metal bowl in there with a whisk, and she's like, why is this in here? And I'm like, that's not of your concern. Well, to be fair, she doesn't do dairy. Completely accurate. I would say the same thing to Jenna. But that night I made homemade whipped cream for the first time, and then went, what am I going to do with this? Because I fished out some like old espresso powder and did like an espresso mocha whipped cream. And then was like, what can I put this on? And I'm like, I don't have something I really want to put this on. So I'm going to put it on this spoon in this bowl. And just eat whipped cream. And I think that's probably my like laziest quarantine snack, which was just, I'm just going to eat a bowl of whipped cream.
Fair.
But I'm not ashamed at all.
Nor should you.
Yeah. I did cook tonight for the first time in literally forever. Because I don't cook much. But I made some noodles and I had some chicken. And I was like, oh, I think I've got like this specific sauce packet thing, blah, 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 blah. I can whip this up. Didn't have that packet or couldn't find it. One or the other. So instead I was like, well, wine reduction sauce, which is why I'm now drinking wine. Because I was like, well, wine's going in this because fuck it. I made lemon pepper chicken with an apple wine reduction sauce, and I added a little applesauce to it.
Nice.
And yeah, just kind of reduced that all nice. The applesauce kind of helped give it a little extra oof. But yeah, like that's the only thing I've actually cooked in 2 weeks. So
I've just realized that, which is really weird for me, that I'm actually talking to Festies right now instead of just talking to like my wife
humans
or random people at work. Because no one else will understand this. But recently when Jess was like, what do you want me to get from the store? I sat there and I realized that my body was in the mode that it's in when I'm at Fest and I have been working the entire day.
Pickles.
Around, well, not even that, just around like fried foods and all that crap. And you walk into one of the server's tents and they have the full spread from like a wedding that didn't eat all their food.
Yeah.
And you see like pork and chicken and beef and potatoes, and you keep going down the line and then you see the big bowl of salad and you go, that is the only thing I've ever wanted.
Yep.
Where your first plate is just a plate of salad, and you shove this into your face and everyone looks at you like, why are you eating salad? And you're like, you shut your mouth.
Except it's more like, you shut your mouth.
I can honestly say I do not know what you're talking about.
You did at one point. At one point in time you did, but that's been lost
to
the years.
I can honestly say, even back when I could eat, I still went straight for the meat.
Oh, I do too, but I also understand what Eric is saying, where like, I like to give the meat a little pasture, a little paddock.
I don't.
Of fresh greens.
No, fuck that.
See,
fuck salad.
So that you graze before you eat it, or what?
Fuck salad.
No, so that I can claim that it's free range.
See, salsa, when you've actually like, you know, put in a day where you're really entertaining people for the whole time.
Fuck.
And by the middle of the day, early afternoon, you
don't understand.
Exhausted.
You've lost me. You lost me.
Shit. Wow. Fuck. Oh, it's been a little while since you lost Anna like that. Shit.
I did a quick glance through my feed just to see what I've been doing. I made creme brulee at one point. I taught my son how to make brioche cinnamon rolls. I made homemade paneer.
Nice.
That was really good.
And I gotta say, I really admire that you are taking this time, and I know you've been doing it for years, but still, that you are taking the time to teach your kids how to bake.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I first met you, and kind of around that time hearing stories about you knowing how to bake because of your mom, mm-hmm. and then growing up with it, and that just being a thing that you did that everyone else was like, wait, you know how to bake? And you're like, I mean, doesn't everyone? Kind of stuff. I love that you are passing that on to your kids. I think that's a really valuable thing. And as someone who learned to cook from a mom who doesn't use recipes, and when I recently was like, hey, can I have your lasagna recipe? She was like, I'm like, just guess. It'll be okay. She's like, but I don't know how much of this spice to add. I'm like, I don't fucking care. Just say, add parsley. I'll figure it out. as someone who just kind of wings it, but also just learned from family, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, no, and they love it because they get to help, which when you're four and six is big. But it's also just, I get a huge amount of pride being able to complete strangers and just be able to say, hey, Lilibeth, what does yeast do? And have her sit there and go, you know, they're little creatures that eat sugar and burp out gas, and it's adorable and accurate. And it's a basic understanding of what yeast does, and you know, they're learning all of those skills that they need. You know,
meanwhile, when I'm raising Jessa, and I'm like, Jessa, what does a fighting stance look like?
And then she beats the shit out of the random person.
Yeah.
That would be me.
Great.
Oh, no, absolutely. I love that sort of thing. I love being able to have our kids know things that normal people don't know. You know, we were watching, it was the New Year's Day hockey game. Every year on New Year's Day, the NHL has an outdoor hockey game. And I was watching the game, obviously, but they had the pomp and circumstance around the event. They're panning through the event, you know, celebration, staff, entertainment. And there's like a couple fire breathers, and then a sword swallower, you know, swallows a sword, and then they pan off to a couple people doing something like unicycling or something like that. And my kids are like, hey, Papa, look! And I was like, yes, Papa does the sword swallowing too. And they're like, Papa, look! People on unicycles!
And you're like, God damn it.
Yeah, just
Salsa's next stunt is going to be learning to ride a unicycle that has a sword instead of a seat that he swallows and then pedals with his hands.
Oh no, my wife has already told me I cannot swallow a sword while unicycling. that's not allowed. And yes, that is a conversation that did come up. But the fact that what we do is so normal and uninteresting to them at this point. I love that.
I did at one point mention to one of my coworkers when she was asking like who I know from Fest. I was listing through people that I know or have shows with and things like that. And I was talking about the wine show and I mentioned your sword swallowing, and her face just went white. And she's like, but I mean, it's a show. And I'm like, yeah, it's a show. Of course it's a show. And she goes, so he doesn't really swallow a sword. I'm like, yeah, he swallows a sword.
Yeah.
And she's like, but you said it's a show. And I'm like, it can be a show and real. And she's like, what?
Oh, my God.
And I'm like kind of talking through some of the talking points that I remember kind of talking through with you as you were trying to figure out how to write your show, and kind of mentioning a couple of those things like nudge the heart to the side and things like that, and her face just keeps like going whiter. And she's like, no. And I'm like, I mean, yeah. And she's like, what, but how? And I'm like, I can keep talking. And she's like, oh, okay. And there got to a point where she's like, I'm done. I'm like, are you sure? And she's like, yeah, done. I'm done. I'm like, okay.
Well, the thing is it a show? Absolutely, it is a show. But it's a lot. Honestly, in many ways, it's like professional wrestling. I mean, yes, it is scripted, but there's no way to fake jumping off of a 22-foot high cage through a table. There, you can't
and
fake
body
that.
Slamming Mankind off of the top of Hell in a Cell. through a table.
This is the point where you hit someone with a chair. I mean, sure, you can pull things, but you're still hitting a person with a chair.
Yeah,
like that's still happening.
You know, when you cover the ground in thumbtacks and body slam somebody into it, they know it's coming, but they're still landing on thumbtacks.
They're just landing on it in the safest way possible because it's a show.
Exactly. Anyway.
But speaking of the kids, I did have the cutest moment at the beginning of Pi Day. When I got there and we were setting things out, and both of the kids are up there at the table, and Lilibeth said something, like, was talking about her pie, and I was like, "Oh, that's great." And I said, "Asher, what did you make?" He said something like, "He's like, yeah, I made this," and Lilibeth is like, "Again." But I like this. And they went through this whole thing of like, "You're making the same thing, but I like the thing I make." And I think that's just a really cool thing.
It was the unicorn rainbow pie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anybody else have any interesting baking projects or anything they want to quickly touch upon?
If you're giving James the option, we're going to be here for another 15 minutes.
James, if you've been cooking anything interesting, you have 2 minutes.
Yes.
Oh, God damn it.
Have 1 minute and 50 seconds.
Aldi has $2 steaks wrapped in bacon, and they broil really well.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good.
Yep.
I realized I was out of bacon, otherwise I was going to make that bacon shot glass you linked me and just show up to this fucking podcast with it and just casually drink from it. But
just
I was out of bacon
in.
When I checked 2 hours ago.
Then it's so two tragedies.
We will have to wait.
Because I absolutely agree with you, Eric, that they made it way more complicated than it
needed
to be.
Like, use 9 strips of bacon and toothpick it together and then microwave it? Fuck that.
God, no. Jenna, anything interesting in the kitchen?
Nope, just like I said, I've been sick for the past couple of weeks.
Mostly
I've been eating Chinese food because I've been supporting my local Chinaman that's not Joe.
Sure.
So, you know. Just what I made tonight, the wine sauce reduction apple lemon pepper chicken thing.
Sounds amazing.
I can say the three items that are still on my list that I haven't gotten to yet are the sticky toffee pudding, as mentioned, a Swiss roll, and then I need to make I'm blanking on it. Oh well, forget it. That was a word I had. I've been drinking. By the way,
wow, Salsa, you really jamesed the shit out of that.
This glass was full. Now it's not.
How would that happen?
Bottle was almost full, and now it's almost not.
Yeah, I drink a lot more.
That's the word I was looking
for. I don't have to drive home.
Souffle.
Souffle. All right. It was souffle. French. I was waiting for Eric.
Souffle. Souffle.
Yes. Make a nice souffle. We're going to take a break.
Perfectly normal American souffle.
And then we'll come back at you in a little bit.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Bullshit, James.
Oh, you're basic.
And we're
and
back.
If you're not familiar with Earth Insult.
Oh my god.
I'm yeah, James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Eric.
And that disembodied voice was Eric's wife.
And you're basic.
And you're basic. Oh,
in my headcanon, she's talking to Eric.
One more.
I think she's talking to James.
I believe this.
Story checks out. I do enjoy pumpkin spice and wearing boots.
Uggs.
As an aside, for a while I was wearing Uggs because that's what I got at like the local thrift store. And I thought they looked cute. So I got them, like, not, I didn't spend all of the money. And so my brother and the guy I was dating at the time were teasing me about being basic. And they started buying me pumpkin spice things.
Huh.
And at one point, and this happened in fall time, they bought me pumpkin spice Twinkies.
Okay.
They were amazing. They were
sound
amazing. They were incredible, and I have not been able to find them since, and I'm really upset about this.
I'm honestly
I would be too.
I'm honestly surprised you could eat them. But good on you.
Yeah, no, they contain it's like nothing natural.
They aren't food. Jenna is only allergic to food.
Oh.
Only allergic to things you should actually eat. Yes.
No, yeah, yeah.
There is I mean, realistically, I'm more than happy to admit it. There's only one pumpkin spice thing that I have ever had that I have not enjoyed.
Mm. And is it the Jacko Blast?
Yes, it is. How did you ever guess that it was the shot that we had at Die Laughing a number of years back?
I have a whole bottle here in the lab if you want.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise
like it.
Me.
You know what?
Also, Jenna.
But here's the thing. I would take that over Malort any day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I still remember, Salsa, when you were the one who was... sorry, I got derailed because I think I heard Jess say something about me.
Yes, I also heard. That our podcast the louder I get.
I have a Salsa, feeling I'm about to hear a story of me being hoisted by my...
I want to hear Eric's story. Would you guys stop interrupting him?
If it's the story I think it is, I don't want you to hear it.
There's a point where somebody donated for Salsa to have a shot. And he said, should I have the Jacko Blast or the Cocoa Nuts? which tasted like sunscreen. Mm. And I believe I said, let's ask the audience. And the response we got was both.
Ta-da!
Yes.
So he mixed half and half, which was
awful.
The worst thing ever.
Holy fuck, was that bad.
By the way, Jenna, you are not now, nor will you ever be basic. I submit that you are Fortran.
Okay.
Possibly COBOL.
Anyway, here's the thing about that story. It seemed like a bad idea at the time, but I did it anyway.
But it was for charity.
Yes.
Right.
Anyway, Eric.
Yes.
Would you like a Fast Five?
Fast Five.
A Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Jenna.
Yay! I wrote a thing.
In honor of the Eric.
In honor of the Eric. I wrote it specifically.
Oh, no.
Eric. So it is going to be completely in French.
Oh, boy.
Salsa, are you ready with the sound box?
What's that?
Are you ready with the sound box?
Oh, shit. Yes.
Come on, sound guy. All right. Question number one.
At least I have my gun out. She's doing finger guns.
Salsa?
Oh,
or
cute.
James?
James.
James.
Salsa.
I'm going to...
Salsa.
This one's actually a really hard one for me.
Giggity.
I think I'm going to go salsa.
Like, who would I rather have watch young children?
That one's not
I
hard.
I think salsa would be a much better... much better babysitter.
If this pattern keeps up, I have a theory that I'm not going to mention until after the last question.
Interesting. Okay.
But I'm saying it now because then I can hold myself to it.
I was about to say a pattern. We've only had one.
Mm-hmm. I have a theory. It's not a pattern. It's a theory.
You said you have a theory if this pattern holds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever.
All right. So we've all submitted. Question number two. Jenna or Eric?
Jenna.
Ooh.
Jenna.
This is a really difficult choice.
No, right? I tried to take everybody's personalities and abilities into account for this thing.
Uh-oh.
I have had equal board game time with both of you, but usually at Jenna's place, so I'm going to pick Jenna.
I, too, am going to go Jenna.
No one likes to Eric.
Quelle surprise.
Honestly, I would be fine with Eric, but in this instance, I believe I have to go Jenna.
All right, she dead.
Number three. Eric or Salsa?
Eric.
Salsa.
Eric.
I'm going to go Eric. Question number four. Jenna or James?
Oh. I would rather do Jenna's dishes than James's.
I will pick Jenna because I picked James's earlier.
I'm going with James.
Surprising no one, Salsa.
I'm going to go Jenna, but I'm also very sad for that choice. Okay. Well, anyway, we'll get to that. Question number five.
Yep.
Question number five. Eric or James?
Eric.
I have a feeling that my character doesn't have very many.
James.
I will choose myself with the understanding that it's probably who would I rather sacrifice at the end of the world.
I love you, James, but I'm still Eric James.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you pick, James?
I picked myself for this one.
Oh, okay. I am choosing Eric for that.
And I should say that my theory was that because I thought you were going to pick all of our names for them, I didn't think anyone would pick themselves, and I was wrong twice. You and James once.
No. Yeah. All right. That ends the choices. Would you like...
Thus endeth the lesson.
The context.
Bum, bum, bum. We'll find out who is right and who is not right.
Actually, no. Who is dead is appropriate in this case because the entire context of this is the apocalypse.
Oh, hey.
What a surprise.
So question number one was Salsa or James?
Mm-hmm. Pick James.
I believe I picked Salsa.
James.
Okay. And I also picked Salsa.
Okay. Who would you rather build a zombie fortress with?
Yeah, not all of her romantic partners were bad, but...
You know, Salsa. I appreciate that Salsa wanted to finish the whole, French Drain thing over 2 days. But his shoulder hurt pretty good, so I'm going to pick James.
I went with Salsa because it's a plate, not a ramp. I almost killed you when we tried to build a stage door, James. I love you, but a thing, I'm gonna go with the person I'm least likely to kill.
I'm gonna
Well, the person that you will have the least remorse about if you have to.
Mm. I'm gonna switch to myself because I would rather be alone than spend eternity with James.
Ouch.
Love you, James. From a distance. Right.
I love you too.
Question number two. Jenna or Eric, who would you rather have lead your apocalypse team?
Oh, I picked right, Jenna.
Jenna.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Eric's going to go with what's funniest, so definitely Jenna.
I disagree with that.
I would go with what makes everyone get along the most.
That right there, because one of the
I would go for harmony
for surviving an apocalypse is an ability to communicate and you know, build community and things like that. And Eric is way better at that shit than I am.
As a seneschal or a right hand man or something like that, he'd be fucking amazing. But as a leader. To organize and to make hard calls. Yeah, Jenna.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like we need somebody who has to focus on the fact of making the thing go, and then we need somebody who is thinking about, like, the general challenges that are facing the people and kind of pull everyone together in them.
Yeah, I don't know where we find that combination of people.
I don't know. That's a tough one.
It's rare and precious. Yeah. I agree, Jess. I think that's very funny.
But I would also be on an apocalypse team with Eric as a leader.
Absolutely.
I will say that.
Absolutely.
I would just keep telling him what to do. So,
that's fair. Because
I've seen his work ethic.
Yeah.
And
okay,
he would give us hot yoga.
Three. Huh?
Eric would give us hot yoga.
I don't think you want me to give you hot yoga.
He thinks it's a position. So maybe?
Question number three. Eric or Salsa? Like a meme or
t-shirt or something.
Who would you rather have as your survivalist cook?
Oh no.
I know, right?
I pick salsa.
Damn.
I mean, you would have carbs for days.
That's true.
Or she's doing finger guns.
I went with Eric because meat.
I'm gonna go with Eric.
That too.
I'm gonna go with Eric because I am able with cooking, but I am less flexible.
I feel
like Eric will be able to say, we have this and this and this and make something edible, whereas I really need to have an end goal in sight before I start. I
think Salsa has more breadth of experience. I think that given the proper ingredients, I think Salsa would shine more. But I think as far as like figuring it out as we go, think I go with myself.
Yeah, I think Eric would be better.
That's a really good point. I think Eric is the right choice.
I think my favorite combination would be Eric, Salsa, and Joe as my survivalist cook trio.
Ooh.
I would be absolutely down with that.
Yeah.
We would be making booze and we would be making bread it would be
My favorite part of that would be that any given day, two of us would be giving major shit to the one person that could actually do something that day. It's like, Salsa stay to shine. Do you really want that? Like, what the fuck, man? And you're like, shut up.
I kind of want to see this cooking show now.
Yes, please. Well, we already talked about Eric and Joe doing an Iron Chef thing.
Whoa.
And I still want to see that, but it's never going to happen if Joe's in charge. So
what we need is like a backseat driver version of cooking. It's like backseat chef, where one person is cooking something and the other people are just commenting.
Or just peanut gallering it.
Yes.
Gallerying.
Snarking at bakers.
Oh my god, yes.
Like that is something that I would seriously do after all of this quarantine stuff is over. You know, somebody just doing like a cooking video while like two or three other people are just talking shit on them.
MST3 oh cook.
Kill you all. Oh my god.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
I want this to happen. That make this be a thing.
Somebody MST3 cook makes me so happy.
MST3 kitchen.
Great. Oh, I do like that actually. Every once in a while, James. Every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, question number four.
Question four.
Jenna or James?
Okay.
Who would you rather have as your apocalypse clothier?
Ooh.
I mean, I've been over here sewing masks, but James is literally knitting right now.
I would be wearing the same thing I'm wearing now.
After 5 years, holes start to happen and things and whatever. Somebody needs to fix that. Somebody needs to, you know, put your underwear back together. Who would you rather have?
So here's the difference that I see.
Okay.
If I had a selection of clothes, I would want James because he would come through and say, you are wearing these things. But I wouldn't expect James to make more things or repair things. I feel like James would either not have the skill or get distracted because James. So that's why I'm picking Jenna. Because if something short term needs to be repaired, I think Jenna would do it. Or if Jenna really hates what I'm wearing, she's going to make something else for me to wear. And I think really that's important. Because rather than just hearing, no, you need to change your clothes, and me going, I don't have any other fucking clothes, she would actually do something about it.
I think I picked right when I chose Jenna because I would be an excellent choice for making clothing if you want it to be functional but extraordinarily heavy. That appears to be kind of my modus.
That is the name of my my life story.
Yeah.
Functional yet extraordinarily heavy is my biography title.
Nice.
I think if I needed to repair or make new clothes, I would just do it myself. But
fair.
Because Jenna is already our fearless leader, and James thus far has not been relegated to job, I'll go with James.
Well,
put
you
him where he can cause the least damage.
There is one more job I have left. Are you ready for this?
Bring it.
Question number five.
Oh, okay.
Eric or James, who would you rather have as your apocalypse bard?
Oh.
See, I know I picked James because I didn't pick myself when I was an option. However, if I'm going to pick jobs, I think Apocalypse Bard is the easiest job, and I kind of want the easiest job.
It's very smart of you. Dash cunning.
I feel like Apocalypse Bard is the name of my Metallica cover band.
Yes, it is. Ooh. Oh my god, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. I
would go with Eric.
Yeah, me too.
I would also.
I've sat out on a balcony singing songs with him, and I would definitely choose Eric.
Well, I don't have a lot of confidence in my musical improv experience. I feel like I have more musical improv experience than James.
That's fair.
I feel like with Eric, we would get a good mix of humorous and straight beautiful. Whereas with James, it would just be pun, 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 pun.
Mm. And then we wouldn't have a bard.
Exactly. We
would kill him. If I was the leader, yes, I would kill him. Let's be clear. So, anyway, yes, that is my apocalypse fest.
I like it. As long as my pseudo duties as cook for the post apocalyptic is also as brewer, then I will absolutely gratefully accept.
Mm-hmm. Cook and fortress.
Pseudo.
Cook and what?
And fortress building.
Yeah. Cook, fortress building, and as long as I can also brew, I'm your man.
Yeah.
Dig this trench, then brew us something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yep.
I'm weirdly, that sounds kind of appealing at the moment. Like, dig a trench, then brew something actually sounds kind of nice.
What my friends have discovered with their home projects is that if they give me a set of extraordinarily clear instructions and the materials to do something, I can complete simple tasks pretty quickly and without a lot of complaining.
It's a plane, right. Not a ramp.
Well, for example, my friends Barry and Christina were putting in a paver walkway between their garage and the new exit to their house on the back. And they wanted a stone walkway between those two locations.
Sure.
And because it was relatively easy to spread the gravel out, dig the holes and all of that stuff, like, I was on that shit. Mm. I wouldn't be able to mastermind a project like that, but, like, doing the physical labor part of it, I was good at that.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's fair. Plate.
So basically, yes. What we've determined is James is going to mend clothing and dig.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I am envious of how simple that sounds. Like, considering that most of my day accounts for, like, logging into several levels of security to try to do whatever work.
Mm-hmm.
And so many headaches and jumping through so many hoops. The idea of just dig a hole and pick out clothes sounds so nice.
It really kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that people enjoy about, like, the post-apocalyptic media or, you know, the visiting old-timey reenactment settlements and things like that is the idea of not having to worry about whether your internet is, you know, your firewall is going to allow you to connect through the VPN and all of that.
Yeah.
That's something I appreciate about Fest. Because when I'm there, I'm a person who talks to people. That is my entire purpose.
And
nothing
many
else I have to worry about. Nothing else I have to do. No, I get to do that. That is something I choose. But as far as responsibilities, my responsibility is talk to people. It's not even a stipulation on how those conversations go.
Yeah.
It's just, you talk to people, and then do whatever the fuck you want. And there is a simplicity there that is just so
there
beautiful.
There is a deceptive simplicity there. I will
Let's not
say,
pretend that it's easy.
Because there is definitely a lot of layers, and this is something that we've talked about in the past, about the complexity of how to interact with people and certain turns of phrase that get people to, you know, interact with you on a different level and, you know, picking your targets when you're starting to build a crowd and all of those things.
Honing your craft over thousands of interactions doing the same thing, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and even one of my favorite recent bits, which was done with Salsa, which I just came up with on a whim, which was shopping for clothing.
Oh god, that was so much fun.
I remember you talking about it, how you were like, yes, I'll do it, and then you watched for like three interactions to see what I was doing to go, oh, those are the rules of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are so many layers there, but like, what I wouldn't give to be able to do that tomorrow morning, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I should be, yesterday I should have been at a Renaissance festival. And that was
hard,
not being able to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, in thinking about it, like, the biggest problem we had was running into someone wearing, like, a MAGA hat or something like that and being like, ooh, this changes what I say, and then we move on. Mm-hmm. Like, I miss when that was my biggest concern.
Mm-hmm. Jenna, what were you saying?
Yesterday, you were supposed to be up north with me and Joe and...
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, no... The Renaissance Festival was next weekend. You're right.
Next weekend. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, you son of a bitch. You're lucky they canceled.
Time, not real.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It has all blended together at this point. Yeah. There is a deceptive simplicity to what we do. And an underlying difficulty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go with that.
Yeah.
Hey, does anybody have a shout out?
I'm going to do one of those stupid shout-outs. I have to give a shout-out to my boyfriend, Joe. I have not seen him in over 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I don't remember how long now. We've been doing the video chat stuff and whatever. But I needed some supplies. But because I've been sick with Schrodinger's COVID, I can't leave. I was getting low on toilet paper, surprise, and wanted like some Powerade and some things like that. So Joe, number one, located and ordered for me 40 rolls of toilet paper.
Shouldn't that be number two? Yes.
This is what Eric the Bard.
Eric is the Bard. Yep. In your post-apocalyptic wasteland, is there a village idiot? Because I think we found him.
I thought that
but it has to be Pluto.
But no, so not only did he order and deliver 40 rolls of toilet paper for me, but he also got me like some Powerade and just like a couple of other things that he knew would make me feel better while I'm sick. And the hardest part is that I knew, like, I had to tell him, I'm like, I know you're stopping by my house and I can't say hi to you because... If I see you at my house, I'm going to be that much more sad. Like, I can kind of remove and set aside if I don't see. So it was like, So he was at my house and I didn't see him. I didn't look through the window. I didn't anything. It was just, But yeah, he stopped by and he delivered those things for me. He left them in what I'm calling the airlock right now, which is the front porch.
Yep.
Because I don't use the front screen door at all. I only use the inner door, and nobody else should be using the inner door. So so that's a shout out to Joe for taking care of me the ways that he can while I haven't seen him in forever. And oh my God, I'm going insane in the end.
If it makes you feel any better, I had a friend drop off a mask, and actually seeing her through the door as she dropped off the mask was a level of stress I was not ready to deal with. So I kind of wish I had done the I'm not looking, I'm not seeing you kind of thing. The fact of seeing her and knowing that she was like 3 feet away and I couldn't just give her a hug and talk to her was...
Yeah.
Torturous.
Yeah, so. I knew it would be, and I was just like, nope, don't. Just
everything is allowed right now.
Yeah.
James,
I am going to give my shout out to Eric's wife, Jess, for entertaining the three of us and Eric, and potentially our podcast listeners who have not seen this in nigh on 10 years.
That's delightful. Do you have one, Eric?
I do. I have two quick ones. One because I'm going to shout it out for maybe listeners to take advantage of, and then one because it's actually real. So the first one goes out to a website that I found through Facebook advertising, which is called DiamondArtHouse.com, which is one of those advertising sites that's like, hey, do you want to make art out of the little like dot diamond placing things that showed up on my feed that's like run by artists and going through tough times. So they are offering art sets at cost. Well, not at cost, sorry, at shipping. So basically it's like, so just to say what these are, they're sets where it's like almost like pixel art. They give you this almost paint-by-numbers thing and all of these little like square raised things that you just put on there to create your art. But it's right now all $0 for anything you buy, and you're just paying shipping because they're going through a tough time. So I bought two of those things, which they are on their way. And,
so I just to understand this, it's so you paint it yourself?
Okay, maybe. No, it's not like really a painting. It's like a paint by number thing meets like pixel art. So you know how in pixel art you have like little squares that you will that you kind of pick what color they are. What they give you is a giant sheet that lists out like this color goes here, and they give you a lot of these little like what they're calling diamonds, which are like these colored squares.
Okay.
And what you're doing is you're basically gluing these squares into place.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you're creating these giant elaborate like images or photos or these beautiful like landscapes out of putting these plastic kind of square raised things, at least that's my understanding, on these canvases, which I've been getting a ton of these lately on the Facebook advertiser. So it's basically $0. They're just trying to move inventory and get shipping costs, so they're running low on the options. But I ordered a couple of them. So it's DiamondArtHouse.com. If you ever wanted to try one of these, check that out. And then real quick, my second one is to my pets, because my pets are amazing. And I'm going to pick up Codex, because he is adorable and hates being picked up. But there is Codex, who is my corgi, who has been putting up with my shit about being home. And he doesn't get to nap all day because I'm here. And he has to protect the house all day because I'm here. So,
oh, sweet little buddy.
All the warning sirens that are going off that he doesn't normally have to deal with, but since I'm home, he has to be worried about. Or all of the kids that are playing in the cul-de-sac because their families don't give a fuck about spreading disease. Who he has to be on guard for, you know, he's just pulling double duty. So to my pets who are dealing with me being around all the time and the drama that I bring by being a person and being home, thanks, buddy. My shout out goes to them.
Yeah, so. Nice.
I was going to say, when you were talking about the diamond art, and you're explaining how it's paint by number and they show all of the different colors, that obviously Salsa didn't know what this was.
Well, but if it's, so it's basically paint by shape?
Yeah, well, it's like, take part two and put it here. So it doesn't matter what color that is. You're just taking the thing out of part, like box two, and putting it there.
Yeah, like that seems like something I could do.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I agree. As someone who also struggles with color, I agree.
Looking at some of these pictures, some of them are absolutely gorgeous.
They are. They really are. I got one that's not listed anymore because I think it's out of there. That's like a coffee mug with all kinds of like food around it. So
yeah, they have a coffee mug with coffee beans in it, which Jenna might really like.
Ooh,
I'm seeing a. There's a Starry Night by what's his name? Monet.
It's Van Gogh.
Van Gogh, yes. Van Gogh Starry Night is here. Like, some of these are
I ordered two, I want to say, like, 2 or 3 days ago, and it was, like, $20, a little over that, for shipping. Mm-hmm. So, relatively cheap, because I think some of them are listed for, like, $90-plus dollars.
Yeah, the ones I'm looking at are $97. So.
So I got two for, like, $24, and I just got a shipping notification today.
Cool.
So, I figured that's a fun thing to share for people who are stuck at home.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Take a look.
Yeah, but they don't have any Steven Universe, so I'm...
Sad day. Maybe you could just make your own.
Times are tough. Yeah, there's always that.
There's no Red Panda.
Salsa, do you have someone you want to shout out?
Yes, I'm giving my shout out to every person in 80s movies who dug their own pool in their backyard. And you know who you are. Because after having taken a couple days to dig, and granted, I did a lot of fucking work, but nowhere near a pool. And I'm also going to call shenanigans on a lot of those movies, because anybody who has dug that deep of a hole in their backyard is going to be way more buff than the, you know, people in these shows are portrayed.
God gave me a gift. I dig well.
What?
I don't hear you and the kids complaining about the pool that I dug for you last summer.
Yes.
The Shoveler. Mystery Men.
Cool.
Cool.
But yeah, it's...
All right.
That's anybody who's...
No, it wouldn't be an AON podcast without a James Deep pool.
Yeah, anybody who digs a pool is going to be fucking ripped by the time they're done with that, is all I'm saying.
That's true.
Who's got a shout out, or not a shout out, something to plug?
This Friday, I am doing the Vilification Tennis Interruptus show, which is a show that we are live streaming to the Vilification Tennis Facebook page. We are going to be doing Vil10 online, which we've done a couple times, but I have yet to do. So,
is this
I will be
the
talking
Vil10
about how
Interruptus
fat people are.
Show, or is this one the full Vilification Tennis Causes Autism show?
You know, Tim's not always clear on how he's describing those or how he's, you know, separating things out. Hi, Jess.
Hi.
They can hear you, but the podcast... Well, they can see you, but the podcast can't.
No, they could hear you
the whole time for the podcast.
Yeah,
good, that's what we want. Did they hear me, like, murdering people and bragging about murdering people?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was probably playing a video game.
Probably.
That seems right.
It is through a... This is a lovely series of issues... So Molly, who has autism, suggested Vilification Tennis Causes Autism for our kind of woo and random show. Like, alternative medicine kind of show.
Sure.
And the BLB comes back and says, mm-hmm. We can't say this. And Molly's like, well, as an autistic person, I would like you to say, the autistic person does not understand why the BLB won't show this.
Yeah.
And we're like,
Oh, God.
So, and I'm caught in the middle because Jess handles art. So we changed it to, what was it? Vilification Tennis doesn't get vaccinated.
Yeah, refuses
then
to be vaccinated.
Then we do the stay-at-home order, and then that becomes probably a bit more like hot button. So now Tim has changed it back to Vilification Tennis Causes Autism.
Okay.
Which is our latest Vil10 show, which will be this coming Friday at 10 p.m. on the Vil10 page.
Yeah.
Woo!
Nice.
Yeah.
I will also be doing that. And I'm deeply excited to do Vil10.
Or
I think and I are in second round together. Well, not correct. Together. But well, we are against apart. Each other in second round.
Now I have to see this.
And then I also, well, Eric's definitely going to win. He's better at things. But then the show that I have on this Sunday is The Squires at Large Go Virtual. Yes. It is Wart and Gort, myself and Kyle, doing our usual Renfest dad jokes and pun battles for a live audience. And
You shut your not open
we're deeply
mouth
excited. She's just nothing. Mad that they're not fishing-based puns.
Okay, that's accurate.
Open your mouth that you're shaking your head at, then shut it again.
So, I'm deeply excited about that. That should be Sunday at 3, if I remember correctly, and the link is up on MNTC Virtual Stage.
Yay! Things that I have to plug. I know I keep promising this benefit show, you guys, and I feel really bad that I keep promising this show. I'm pushing it back at least another week. The charity that I want to benefit has not gotten back to me.
Oh.
I'm like, meh. Plus I've been sick and I want to do a little bit more, just some tweaking and touch up on the thing.
Sure.
So, I believe, fingers crossed, I will be doing this show May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Oh, nice.
And I'll be doing that through JennaYoungProductions.com or Jenna Young Productions on Facebook. So if you have not gone over and liked Jenna Young Productions on Facebook, you should go like Jenna Young Productions on Facebook. That's Jenna Young Productions on Facebook. It's a page.
Never heard of her.
Like. So when I do have that solidified, if this particular charity doesn't get back to me, I might just pick another way of doing this. So yeah, I'm hoping for first, second, and third for that. On May 4th and May 6th. By the way, guys, recording on Monday is going to be awkward on May 4th. We should figure that out later. But on May 4th, I will be doing the Encyclopedia Show online for your viewing pleasure. That particular show is Medical Quackery.
Ooh.
And boy, howdy, do I have plenty to say on medical quackery. So that is Monday, May 4th. If you go to Encyclopedia Show on Facebook, I'm sure the information will be there. I do not have an event yet. Or I am also certain it will be posted on MNTC Virtual Stage because I will be posting it there because it's my goddamn page. And then on Wednesday, May 6th, will be another Encyclopedia Show. And this one will be Space Flight.
Ooh.
Mm. And for those of you that know... So for Medical Quackery, you might know people such as Kate Bailey, Kyle Decker, Michaela Shaughnessy, Brian Watson Jones, some Matt Kessen guy, and myself.
Uh-huh.
And then for Spaceflight, I believe, and I don't know how solidified these are, but Liv Anderson, Kate Bailey again, Cole Starr, Tim Wick.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. Myself, and again, some weird Matt Kessen guy. So those two Encyclopedia shows, and I believe there's two other Encyclopedia shows that are happening Tuesday and Sunday as well. I'm not 100% certain. I didn't pay attention because I'm not performing in them. But if you go to Encyclopedia Show on Facebook, I am certain all of that information will be up shortly. Everything has just been solidified in the past day or two. So, yeah, that is what I currently have coming up. So also you got
yeah.
it?
I do not. Everything that I've been doing is canceled.
Do you have your next baking project outlined?
Like I said, I'll be making sticky toffee pudding next.
He's going to be baking a French drain.
I have a question. Have you ever made pavatitsa?
I don't know if it... Not by that name?
To the Google.
It's another name for toad in a hole.
No, it is not.
Pavatitsa?
Yep.
Google is not...
It's a Slavic walnut bread. And I have a deep hankering for some.
Oh, this stuff.
Yeah, like the swirly walnut bread.
Yes, I have not made it myself, but I have known people who have.
I don't know where to get it in the cities, and everything's closed anyway, so I want pavatitsa.
Everything is suggesting me to pavatitsa, so do you have a spelling?
P-O-V-I-T-I-S-A.
Yep.
I was doing PA, and it was right. Sending me like.
So was I.
No idea.
Yes, I have seen this made before. I could give that a go.
Yeah.
Dear listener, if you have any other projects you want me to bake. And then have Eric and Joe snark at me.
Yes. I want this to be a thing. You guys have no idea how badly I want this to happen.
Or realistically, if you have a random cooking thing that you want me to figure the fuck out and have Salsa just yell at me the entire time, I'm in.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I did. I don't know if I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I made shirred eggs with mash after talking to Joe about it. And yeah, no, totally. Totally. Every minute. All right. Well, is there anything else to mention? If not,
bye,
all right.
Bye. Bye. I love you. Bye.
Oh, my God.
Who invited him?
I was
would
probably
like
me.
To thank Eric so very, very much for being
Yay!
Our guest.
Yay!
Eric.
It was fun, and I like talking to people.
Yeah, thank you to Jenna for the Fast Five.
Yay!
Thank you for everybody who has been listening to this podcast and sticking with it through all of this quarantine nonsense and the weird quality of audio and everything like that. We're trying doing what we can. Thank you for listening. Cool. And while being very snarky about it, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.